You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
With recent news that, if approved, a new weekly type 2 diabetes jab could replace daily injections for people living with diabetes. Here on RNIB Connect Radio, we thought it would be a good time to look at the connections between diabetes and sight loss. Dr. Louise Gao, RNIB Head of Optometry, Low Vision and Eye Care Support, along with Bernie Warren, who is visually impaired and has type 1 diabetes, join me now to explain a little bit more about those connections and what life is like living with the condition. Too. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Louise and Bernie.
Hello, lovely to be here.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be back here.
So firstly, Louise, tell me a little bit more about those connections between diabetes and low vision, as I think many of us may have heard about diabetic retinopathy, but may not fully understand or know a little bit more about the condition and how it affects people's vision.
Yes, certainly. So diabetes can affect your vision in many different ways, from a higher risk of cataracts to dry eye conditions and what they call opportunist infections, where the eye's a little bit more vulnerable to eye infections like conjunctivitis. But the biggest worry where diabetes is concerned is a condition called diabetic retinopathy. And that's where the little blood vessels at the back of the eye are affected by diabetes. They become less efficient, and so they don't deliver as much oxygen to the retina. And as a result of that, new blood vessels start to grow. And those blood vessels are leaky, they cause bleeding on the back of the eye, and that causes damage to the vision. And in the longer term, if that's left completely untreated, then unfortunately it can pull the retina away and you can lose the vision entirely. But the good news is there's lots of treatment for it. So there are, across the UK, diabetic eye screening services where you can go and have your eyes photographed. Usually it's around once a year. Sometimes in low-risk patients, it's every 2 years. And that's perfectly fine. If you're classified as a two-yearly photograph, then it means that they feel that you're at very low risk of diabetic retinopathy. And in the early stages of the condition, for most people, treatment is possible with laser before it gets to the point of seriously damaging your vision. And then in addition to that, there's another kind of slightly more specialist type of diabetic retinopathy where the macula is affected. And the macula is the central part of the eye that does all the detail, sees colour, details on someone's face, that sort of thing. And that can swell. It can become full of fluid, a bit like wet macular degeneration. And that can cause central distortion. And again, there are treatment options for that, similar to the wet macular degeneration treatment. So it's quite wide ranging what diabetes can cause in terms of problems with the vision. But safe management of your diabetes and regular monitoring means that treatment in many cases is possible.
And we hear a lot about type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So what are the main difference between both types? And is it just a case of, I suppose, generally monitoring and managing both conditions?
Fundamentally, yes, it's managing, monitoring and managing the two conditions keeps the risk of sight loss lower than it otherwise would be. It's also managing your blood pressure. It's also looking at lifestyle measures as well. I think Bernie would agree with me here that sometimes managing your diabetes too tightly and too abruptly can actually cause more problems. So you need to be very careful how you manage your diabetes, and you do that carefully with the professional support that you're being given right from day one, from the moment that you're diagnosed, taking good advice, reading information from Diabetes UK and from our website. Being as informed as you possibly can enable you to manage those two conditions, whether it's type 1 or type 2. Type 1 is very different to type 2 in that it comes on usually very suddenly, very acutely, often in small children. It's a condition that needs to be managed with insulin on a regular basis and carries a higher risk of diabetic retinopathy, particularly if you are a young woman who's pregnant. That can increase your risk of diabetic retinopathy. And there are certain things that can impact it. But the single biggest factor is how long you live with diabetes, that increases your risk of diabetic retinopathy. So if you develop diabetes age 3 and a half, then you're living your whole life with the condition. So therefore you have an increased risk with every year that you live with it, if you see what I mean. Type 2 diabetes is a gradual onset type of diabetes. Often you don't know you have it, and it's picked up accidentally in blood tests, routine blood tests, potentially for something else, or because you're feeling a bit tired, or you might have some kind of low grade but annoying symptom, something like that. And that often is managed initially with diet, and then you might go on to medication. And then there are some more complex situations where different interventions are required, such as insulin. So it's usually over 30s that develop type 2 diabetes, but that's absolutely not set in stone. There are younger people with type 2 diabetes, but it is a different medical basis. It's not the same condition as type 1 diabetes and shouldn't be treated in the same way. But overall, it's managing the conditions and getting the right advice and the right support. And if you're not sure, asking questions.
Bernie, you have type 1 diabetes. So do tell me a little bit about how the condition affects your life on a day-to-day basis and how you manage the condition as a visually impaired person as well.
Yes, I've had type 1 diabetes for 30 years now. And when I started with my diabetes, I wasn't sight impaired at all. I became sight impaired after about 15 years of having diabetes. And that became for me because I dropped my sugar levels too quickly. And I got a condition called diabetic macular edema, which has really severely affected my sight. And I think, when you are dealing with and managing diabetes, regardless of whether it's type 1 or type 2, it really is almost like a 24/7 job. It really is, because you are having to know what your sugar levels are continually through the day. And I think the issue for us with sight loss is that a lot of the technology we're given, and we're very grateful for that technology, but it's just not made with sight loss in mind. So we're finding that a lot of the things that come out for things like the continuous glucose monitors or the insulin pumps or the insulin pens, which we're all expected to use, just don't have on them the things that we with sight loss need, such as high contrast. There's not many audible cues to help us to know what to do next. The apps on our phones don't change to dark mode. My phone's on dark mode, for example, and yet my app for my CGM doesn't go to dark mode. It's still in light mode. And that sort of thing has really made managing diabetes much more difficult.
That's interesting to hear, because you would hope that, sort of those ways of monitoring the condition would be made more accessible, especially as people with the condition would end up with some form of sight loss.
Yes, I think it's really surprising that, people, those very clever people that make this technology haven't really thought of sight loss when they're actually starting out their role of producing something new. And I think, for us with sight loss, it's frustrating because, as you say, and you rightly say, that many of us unfortunately do have sight loss. The RNIB data tool of 2022 brought out this number, 1.4 million people are living with diabetic retinopathy. And with that, 200,000 living with severe sight loss. That's just in this country. We're not talking about, this is worldwide issue. It's not just in the UK. We're not the only ones with sight loss and diabetes. So it is really hoped that actually people will begin to understand the issues that we have. I think there are inroads being made, but still we've got a long, long way to go.
Louise, do tell me a little bit more about these new weekly type 2 diabetes jabs that could replace daily injections if approved for people. And how accessible do you think the administration of these injections would be for visually impaired people?
Well, so as Bernie quite rightly points out, a lot of what we currently have is not accessible for people who have sight loss. And I think it's the same with lots of things. Accessibility is built in afterwards. It's an add-on rather than designed into the piece of equipment. And we're a long way from that happening, unfortunately. It's thought of afterwards because someone raises a concern that they can't use the device or they can't access the screen information or something like that. And one of the issues with injections is that they're also not accessible and they're incredibly difficult for people, particularly who have complex needs as well. And so reducing that burden of injection on a daily basis to a weekly basis is definitely a big step in the right direction. It means that people are not tied to waiting for district nurses every day or reliant on friends and relatives, which is in reality what most people end up doing. I don't know how accessible or whether they have built accessibility into the new injection, but I suspect that isn't the case. And I suspect that what will happen is that they will be reliant on someone delivering that injection, but at least it's once a week rather than daily.
Bernie, some people might be very concerned or worried about living with diabetes as a visually impaired person, but I suspect with careful monitoring, as you say, you can still live a very full life and people should not feel too sort of worried at all about being diagnosed as either type 1 or type 2.
No, in a way, obviously, any diagnosis is going to be scary. Okay, that you know, we can be sure of. However, I think nowadays there is so much more help out there, especially, you know, knowing people with other people that have got diabetes, for example. You know, the things like it took me ages to meet someone else who had type 1 as well, but nowadays that's much easier. So not only do you get are you getting the support from healthcare professionals, but also we get support from people around us as well who are also living with the same condition. And they are very good at being very knowledgeable about what's available and what they use and how they manage their diabetes. And I think that's been such a benefit over the years, something that, you know, a lot of us rely on. We often go to people with type 1 diabetes or type 2 and ask them, well, how did you do this and how do you do that? Because they're living with it continually.
So, Bernie, do you know of any other research that might be going on into, I suppose, the causes or treatment of diabetes-related eye conditions?
There is a lot of research going into this, absolutely lots. In fact, so when I was first diagnosed back in 2011, I only knew of one treatment that I could have, okay, one anti-VEGF, which is what the injections are called for eye conditions. But over the years since I've had eye injections, there's been multiple new treatments available. And I think that's been such a plus. It's really helped me because I've been able to have another injection if one hasn't already worked. And I think for those that are coming on board with eye issues related to diabetes, there has been a thought we're being left behind with a lot of the research is going into AMD. But actually, having worked, I've worked with multiple pharmaceutical companies now, I'm realizing actually, you know, we're not being left behind. They really are spending a lot of time on managing and helping us to have optimum sight health with what they are bringing out. For example, there's one drug that was dual approved. It was called a bispecific, and that's never happened. That's the first time that a treatment has been brought out for AMD and diabetic macular edema at the same time, which I think is really encouraging.
Yes, and as Bernie was saying there, I think peer support is extremely important, as is any support service. And the support services really are very important in keeping people as independent as possible, but also enabling them to carry on their careers and keep the lifestyle that they want to have. So reaching out for support and support groups locally and nationally can really make a big difference, particularly after that diagnosis. And as Bernie says, any diagnosis can be scary initially, but talking to other people that have been through the same experience, have learned different ways of doing things and overcoming challenges that might occur as a result of diabetes, that can really improve your well-being and your quality of life. life.
Well, to find out more about diabetes-related eye conditions, do go to the RNIB website, that's rnib.org.uk, and follow the links to Your Eye section and search for diabetes-related eye conditions. And don't forget that you can always call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 for advice too. Well, thank you very much indeed, Louise and Bernie, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about diabetes-related eye conditions.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.